Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association playoffs. Only four teams remain in contention for the trophy in Orlando, Florida. And one of them is a team based in South Florida, the Miami Heat. Miami is a three-time NBA champion, and the Heat is now two victories away from another berth in the NBA Finals after a victory Thursday night against the Boston Celtics. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports.
The Heat caught fire late to turn a nearly 20-point deficit into a 2-0 series lead as they rallied past the Celtics for a 106-101 win in Game 2 of the East Finals. Down 17 late in the first half, Miami outscored Boston by 20 in a momentum-shifting 37-point third quarter. Goran Dragic led all scorers with 25. Bam Adebayo added 21 points. Duncan Robinson had 18. Jimmy Butler scored just 14.
We get down at times, but we never hang our heads because we know if we play the right way, we give ourselves a chance to win. So with these group of guys, man, it's always smiles out there on the court.
Kemba Walker's 23 points led the Celtics.
We fought our way back, but you know, just a lot of mistakes, man. You know, we make too many minor mistakes that really hurts us. You know, we gotta clean that up, in order to beat these guys.
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had 21 apiece. I'm Gethin Coolbaugh.
Thanks, Gethin. Gethin mentioned Bam Adebayo in his report. The 23-year-old Miami center was born in Newark, New Jersey, to an American mother and a Nigerian father. And here's a fun fact about his nickname of Bam. His mother gave it to him while watching the Flintstones cartoon series on television, Adebayo flipped over a coffee table in a manner similar to the show's character, Bam Bam Rubble. The NBA playoffs continue later Friday night when the Los Angeles Lakers play the Denver Nuggets in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals in Orlando. The AP's Dave Ferry has this preview for us.
The Nuggets have been talking about a lack of respect they've received in the playoffs. That's beginning to change after they reached the Western Conference Finals by twice storming back from 3-1 series deficits. One of their believers is Lakers forward LeBron James.
Very resilient, very confident, very driven, and a very well-coached team. And it takes a lot of energy, effort, and a lot of desperation to be able to come back from a 3-1 deficit. And they did it twice. So the respect level is out of this world for what we have for this ball club.
The Nuggets ended the possibility of an all-LA series by winning the last three games of the conference semifinals against the Clippers, one round after doing the same to the Jazz. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. As Dave mentioned, the Nuggets twice rallied to win earlier playoff series against the Los Angeles Clippers and the Utah Jazz. VOA's Jim Stevenson has more on the Nuggets, as well as other sports stories, in his latest Game Room package.
The Denver Nuggets have been looking for a little respect in the National Basketball Association playoffs.
We have belief. I know there's not a lot of belief. I heard one of the commentators the other day say seven teams are left in the bubble, or eight teams are left in the bubble, and seven of them have a chance to win a championship. And we were the one he did not think we had a chance to win a championship. But we don't listen to all that. We believe in ourselves. We believe in the process that we've been going through for the last 5 years to get us here.
Denver head coach Michael Malone watched as his team fell to the brink of elimination before battling back, erasing a 15-point deficit to trail their best-of-seven series with the Los Angeles Clippers 3-2 with a 111-105 win.
I think our guys understood the way we were playing in the first half wasn't good enough if we were trying to stay here for a longer period of time. I give our guys a tremendous amount of credit. Our second half defense was as good as I've seen. That fourth quarter defense was tremendous and timely offense. I think we scored 38 fourth quarter points. We made seven threes that quarter. Nikola started finding his rhythm. Jamal found his rhythm. Michael Porter made some big plays for us.
Clippers coach Doc Rivers knew his team did not respond.
I'll give them credit. I thought they kept playing, and I didn't think we played the same. I'll just put it that way. I thought we started gambling way too much on defense. I thought we stopped moving the ball on offense. But give them some credit. I thought they hung in there and they just played tough. They're not going to go away. You got to know that. And so give them credit. They stayed in.
Malone says his team is great when it's playing both sides of the court.
It always starts with our defense. And obviously in game four, our defense gave us a chance, but the offense did not. Tonight, it was great to see second half. We have the defense that we need, but the offense came up and helped us convert and come back and win this game. So very resilient group. You know, we've been here before. Our guys believe we're tough. Everybody continues to count us out. That's the way we like it. And we live to die another day.
Paul George of the Clippers was waiting for his next chance.
It's just us not putting him away. That's just simple as it is.
But Denver won Game 6, 111-98, to force a decisive Game 7, and then completed their amazing demolition of the Clippers, 104-89. The defending NBA champion Toronto Raptors took the Boston Celtics to a Game 7, where Boston prevailed 92-87. Jason Tatum thinks the hard-fought series will help the Celtics as they advanced to play the Miami Heat.
They're the defending champs. They got a lot of heart, and they made us earn that. And I think when you're trying to achieve something as special as winning a championship, you're going to have to go through some things, some heartbreaks, some tough moments, a lot of adversity, and just see how you respond. And I think we responded really well from almost being up 3-0 to being tied 2-2 to 3-3 and coming into a must-win game. It was big.
Jaylen Brown says the intangibles of the game were big.
Will, determination, resiliency, it's a lot of that stuff that you can't find on the stat sheet, and that's what this game was about.
Boston head coach Brad Stevens was ready to shift gears.
I've coached in a lot of playoff games now and a lot of playoff series, a lot of NCAA tournament games, and you know, I'd say that we saw more defenses and more stuff, and right when something worked, the next play it didn't work anymore, you know, and that's a credit to them. They keep you on your toes the whole time. We should definitely have a lot more in our toolbox to go back to, but we also have to get ready for a different, more unique team now in Miami.
For all of the playoff teams except one, the end of the season comes hard, as Toronto head coach Nick Nurse notes.
And you know, when you watch our team play, most nights you win, lose, or draw, you got to come out of there saying, you know, at least those guys gave you everything they had. And that's, and I think they do it at an extraordinary level. You know, it's always sad when a season ends, that's for sure.
The Miami Heat would get the best of the Celtics in Game 1 of their series, 117-114. Reigning Formula One World Champion Lewis Hamilton reflected on a tough day of driving in Italy during an incident-packed Tuscany Grand Prix.
It was a hell of a day. I feel like I just feel exhausted because it's like, yeah, we did three races today, and Valtteri was pushing the whole time. It's one of the most physical races there is, I think.
Hamilton's Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas followed, as he does more often than not, to play second.
It started like perfectly, the first start, and also giving the position at the first safety car restart. I felt that was nice. Then after that, not my day, but pace was good, apart from some tire issues with a medium tire, but otherwise okay.
Red Bull's Alex Albon was third.
We were fighting the whole time, and I didn't want the same thing happen again. I was like, oh God, you know, I got to, we got 8 laps or 9 laps to overtake everyone, and I was pretty determined, to be honest. As soon as I had that bad start, I knew I had to be aggressive from turn one onwards.
Hamilton now has 90 Grand Prix wins, putting him just one behind the all-time record total of German Michael Schumacher. The Brit is 65 points ahead of Bottas in the Drivers' Championship.
I'm very happy. There's a reason I picked this place, because I really enjoy playing golf here.
South African golfer George Coetzee came to the Portugal Masters to revive his game.
It was kind of always part of my plan to play this event and to prepare for it properly, and I felt like we did that. Even though my game wasn't 100% there, I felt like my head was, and really happy to have pulled it off.
Coetzee was a two-shot winner over English golfer Laurie Cantor, who came out of trouble on the 15th hole.
We've seen all week, you can actually hit, I felt like I hit a reasonable tee shot. I just obviously favoured the right side, and a couple of yards in that rough, it was just dead. So I was trying to just kind of hack something up front right, overdid it, and the bunker shot was horrendous, to be honest. There, so I was trying to get it just running up the tier and have some sort of padded it, but to hold that putt is awesome.
Then he felt winning was possible.
At that point, I still felt like I maybe had a chance if, you know, anything can happen on 16, 17, 18, but George is class, isn't he? So he's closed out really well.
Kutsia was coming off a Sunshine Tour win ahead of the main European Tour event.
Last week I was really comfortable, and this week I really wasn't. And I think that's kind of the steps you have to take. You have to get used to kind of maybe winning ugly, you can say. And when you're not in your comfort zone and playing well and around people that you know, it's a little bit more uncomfortable and more difficult to pull off, but it's nice to have done it.
The win catapults the South African back into the world's top 100.
I've been hanging around 150 for the last 4 years, so it's nice that obviously I've been playing well this year and I've had a lot of top 10s, and the momentum was moving that way, and I wasn't too phased about the fact that I wanted to be back in the top 100. I felt like if I just kept playing the way I did, I'd probably get there in the end. It's nice to kind of skip a couple of top 10s and go straight to the top 100.
And even though it was a long week, holding the trophy felt good.
It's nice, eh? It's not that heavy. I thought I'd be tired by now, but I'm quite happy just holding it there.
The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. Nigeria's sports minister says some athletes will begin camping later this year as part of preparations for next year's Tokyo Olympics. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sunday Dare is the Nigerian Minister of Youth and Sports Development. He says some athletes will begin camping as part of preparations for the Tokyo Olympic Games. He says the ministry will get the necessary clearance and observe all COVID-19 protocols before the athletes move to camp.
We hope to open a camp in Akure, one in Abuja, one in Panshin, to help our athletes get off the rustiness of the COVID-19 lockdown. We'll have about 100 athletes go there for 2 weeks, and we'll pay for all of that.
Darius says the aim is to ensure that Nigerian athletes win medals at the Olympic Games. He also says the ministry is liaising with relevant government agencies for the full resumption of sporting activities in the country. Dare says necessary documents for contact and non-contact sports were submitted to the agencies.
Remember, 2 months ago, we submitted to the National Assembly, the PTF, the COVID-19 sports protocol that focuses on contact and non-contact sports, with a particular section dedicated to football. So we're all set. And I think in a couple of weeks, like I said, conversations are going on. We're on the same page with the health authorities, with the PTF, and I'm sure very soon, in a couple of weeks.
Dare also says the Nigerian government has reclassified sports from mere recreation to business. He says the new sports policy will attract private sector funding and development of infrastructure across the country. The minister says such policy has attracted huge revenue and investments in other countries.
You go to Jamaica, you go to Brazil, South Africa, countries where sports goes around the business world. You see the results. In the UK, $42 billion every year. In the US, $38 billion every year. Globally, $1.3 trillion. In Nigeria, $350 million. Now we want to explore the possibilities, the potential so that this country can also try to lift this from sports.
Vary says the new sports policy will contribute to the country's gross domestic product. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. And this Sunny Side of Sports programming note, I'll be taking a break for the next couple of weeks. Prince Nesta will be hosting the show next week, and Jason Patinkin the week after that. I'll be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone on October 5th. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have a package of African sports news.
So it begins with the latest football rankings released by world governing body FIFA. It is the first FIFA rankings in 6 months. Senegal is a top-ranked African side at number 20. The Teranga Lions are followed in second place by the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, while the Super Eagles of Nigeria occupies the third position in Africa, but 29 in the world. Belgium, France, Brazil, and England remain the top four, with Portugal moving up two spots to replace Uruguay in the top five. Staying with football news, African countries are gearing up for a return to international football next month, but with many borders throughout the continent still closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, most teams are headed to Europe to play. Cameroon are traveling to the Netherlands, Guinea to Portugal, while the likes of Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria and Tunisia will head to Austria, where it is easier for them to assemble squads because they are mostly made up of European-based players. The next FIFA window for international football from October the 5th to the 13th is the first opportunity for African national teams to play since last November. The pandemic saw international football cancelled for all except European countries this month, and uncertainty over travel around Africa led the Confederation of African Football to put back the resumption of official competition to November. In South Africa, Gavin Hunt has been appointed as the new head coach of Kaizer Chiefs, the club announced on Thursday. The Cape Town-born mentor will start his job immediately, and his contract will see him take charge of the Amakosi's first team for the next 3 seasons. Gavin Hunt will meet the team for the first time next week when the squad return to training in preparation of the 2020-2021 season. In athletics, the former head of athletics governing body, Lamine Diack, has been sentenced to 2 years in prison after being found guilty on charges of corruption related to the Russian doping scandal. A Paris courthouse announced on Wednesday that the 87-year-old was found guilty of soliciting $4.1 million from athletes suspected of doping to cover up the allegations and allow them to continue competing, including in the 2012 London Olympics. He was handed a 4-year sentence on Wednesday, two of which are suspended, and fined $594,000. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Swedish pole vaulter Armand Duplantis, who broke Sergei Bubka's 26-year-old outdoor world record. Duplantis cleared 6 meters 15 at a meet in Rome Thursday night, beating Bubka's mark of 6 meters 14. The 20-year-old Duplantis is also the world indoor record holder in the pole vault. He cleared 6 meters 18 at an indoor meet earlier this year in Glasgow. Speaking in Rome, Duplantis said, and I quote, "There are a lot of medals yet for me to win, and there are a lot of things for me to do in championship meets." I think Duplantis is well aware that he has not yet won a gold medal at the World Championships or at the Olympics. For his part, Sergei Bubka, a 6-time world champion and the 1988 Olympic champion, congratulated Armand Duplantis on Twitter. Bubka tweeted, "Congratulations to Mondo for breaking my record. Amazing result. Happy for him and his parents. They are great people. And happy for athletics and sports in general that we have such a bright star for years to come. All the best and onward to new heights." Elsewhere in athletics, South Africa's Olympic champion and world record holder at 400 meters, Wade Van Niekerk, also took to Twitter after an emotional win this week in Switzerland. Van Niekerk tweeted, "Back at it. Forgot how to race for a moment, but it's lovely being back on track." The South African got out of the block slowly in lane 4, but he powered home down the finishing straight to win in 45.58 seconds. Van Niekerk had last run a competitive meet outside his home country at the 2017 World Championships in London, where he won his second World 400 meters title. Since then, Van Niekerk has had a number of injuries. In February, before global health restrictions were tightened because of COVID-19, Van Niekerk won a university-level 100 meters race on a grass track in Bloemfontein. And a planned international comeback in August in Italy was disrupted when he tested positive for the coronavirus. Turning to tennis, U.S. Open champion Naomi Osaka says she will not play in this month's French Open. The Japanese star cited a lingering hamstring injury and a lack of preparation time on the clay surface as the reasons for not playing. Meanwhile, the number of fans allowed to attend the French Open was reduced to 5,000 per day amid concerns over the pandemic. The French Open is scheduled to begin September 27th and go through October 11th. Up the September 18th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sikus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.